Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello, I'm Father Robert Nixon, and this is the commentary series on Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Cussard. Today is day 5 of our series, and we will be continuing now with Book 1, and we're moving on to Book 1, Chapter 2, and Chapter 2 of Book 1 is divided into a total of 12 sections. In this session, we're going to be looking at the first two of those, and these speak about divine action, which is only visible through the eyes of faith, but nevertheless is always present, always active, and with us always. That this divine action is something we don't see, but nevertheless is God's working providence. So before we begin, let's pray for a moment, committing ourselves fully to this same beloved divine providence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, you look down upon us with infinite love and mercy. You have created each one of us as your own beloved son or beloved daughter. Help us fully to trust in your providence, to know that you guide every single step that we make, that the key to our peace, happiness, and sanctification is solely in our complete surrender to your own wonderful providence. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So in the first chapter of Book 1, we talked about how divine providence was the key to our sanctification, and that to recognize this divine providence through the particular call of each and every single moment of our life, that all we need to do is to fulfill our proper duties as ordained by God at any given moment, and we'll be doing exactly what we need to do to achieve this great sanctification. And accompanying this sanctification is also kind of inner peace. Now, the point he makes in this first section of chapter 2 is that the divine action, although only visible to the eye of faith, is everywhere and always present. He writes, "All creatures that exist are in the hands of God. The action of the creature can only be perceived by the senses, but faith sees in all things the action of the Creator. It believes that in Jesus Christ all things live, and that his divine operation continues to the end of time, embracing the passing moment and the smallest created atom in its hidden life and mysterious action. The action of the creature is a veil which covers the profound mysteries of the divine operation." Well, this is very inspiring, and of course, as Catholics, we would all profess to believe that everything works according to God's plan, that God's action is being fulfilled in every single action and instant of creation. But although we profess to believe this, of course, sometimes we tend to live or to think in such a way as if that's not really the case at all, that we need to look after things for ourselves, we need to take charge, and so forth. But instead, if we can see with the eyes of faith, we can see that God's will is at work. And he points out what we see in created things. When he says creatures, he means all of creation, in every created being, including other human beings. It's the action of God which is ultimately at work. So if we look at things through the eyes of faith, we will see this will of God being fulfilled which in itself is a very beautiful and magnificent thing, although it doesn't always show on the surface. He continues that there is not a moment in which God does not present himself under the cover of some pain to be endured, of some consolation to be enjoyed, or of some duty to be performed. All that takes place within us, around us, or through us contains and conceals his divine action. Well, I think it's worthwhile reflecting that this God is present to us in everything, both in the duties that we do, in what's required of us at any given moment, at whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether it's good, whether it's a kind of consolation, or whether it's something which we feel we have to endure. No less is it the action of God. But these are concealed, they're revealed only when we look at them with this perspective of faith. And continuing, it is really and truly there present, but invisibly present, so that we are always surprised and do not recognize his operation until it has ceased. If we could lift the veil, if we were attentive and watchful, God would continually reveal himself to us, and we should see his divine action in everything that happened to us and rejoice in it. At each successive occurrence, we should exclaim, "It is the Lord," and we should accept every fresh circumstance as a gift of God. Now, this is a very demanding thing. It's all very well in theory and everything, but, you know, I myself, in my own experience, often if I'm in a difficult situation or finding someone difficult, a problem, well, I don't see the will of God in it. I see this is something which I need to sort out. This is a problem which needs solving so that the will of God can be done. But the mysterious thing is, the will of God is in fact already being done in whatever we say. If we truly believe that God is omnipotent, it follows from that ipso facto that his will is always being fulfilled. And of course, there's a little bit of a paradox in that, because this doesn't imply that God doesn't will that we do anything, that we put things into action ourselves, but we do so in such a way respecting that it's his will which is in fundamental operation. And even if things don't go according to what our plans are, what we imagine should be God's will, we should have that absolute faith to know that God's will is working through each of these things. And he continues to give a few examples of this. He gives the example of Moses. "But as Moses saw the fire of divine charity in the burning bush, so faith gives us the clue to the cipher and reveals to us in this mass of confusion marvels of divine wisdom." I think that's an amazing metaphor which he draws there, an amazing example he gives, that although what Moses saw was this burning bush, which I guess in itself a thing which was pretty unexpected, but maybe not all that amazing, yet he saw in this the presence of God, the divine plan being carried out. And he's saying that we also can see this divine will amongst the confusion of our daily life and everything that's happening, if we look at it in the right way. And he tells us that faith changes the faith of the earth. By it, the heart is raised, entranced, and becomes conversant with heavenly beings. Faith is our light in this world. By it, we possess the truth without seeing it. We touch what we cannot feel. We see what is not evident to the senses. By it, we view the world as though it did not exist. It is the key to the treasure house, the key of the abyss of the knowledge of God. It is faith that teaches us the hollowness of created things. By it, God reveals and manifests himself in all things. By faith, the veil is torn aside to reveal the eternal truth. And at this point, although on the whole, Cusard is a pretty practical and generally down-to-earth spiritual writer, here he is becoming quite magnificently mystical and saying that we do in fact have this capacity to perceive God in all things through the vision of faith, that it's faith which strips away the veil of appearances. And if you think about the whole world which we encounter, essentially it's nothing but appearances. This doesn't mean that like things are fake or whatever, that the created world isn't real. It is real, but the appearances are not the real substance. Substance in itself, the absolute existence, is nothing other than God. So it follows from this that all of God's creation is in some way a manifestation of God. And so that we should be aware of this continual self-revelation of God through the eyes of faith at every moment of our life. And he goes on to tell us that it is that everything that happens in this world is but a shadow, a figure, a mystery of faith. We look at the outside only and do not perceive the enigma they contain. We fall into this trap like men without sense. Instead of raising our eyes to the principle, source, and origin of all things, in which they have their right name and just proportion, in which everything is supernatural, divine, and sanctification, in which all is part of the plenitude of Jesus Christ, and each circumstance is as a stone towards the construction of the heavenly Jerusalem, and all helps to build a dwelling for us in that marvelous city. We live according to what we see and feel, and wander like madmen in a labyrinth of darkness and illusion. Now, this is talking about when we get too entrapped in the things which we experience and see, that ultimately we then forget about the presence of God. We fail to see them as manifestations of workings of God's will. And as he puts it in such a wonderful metaphor, as building blocks for the heavenly Jerusalem. And it's pretty awesome to think about every moment of our life, no matter how mundane or difficult it might be, is in fact a building block which is constructing this heavenly Jerusalem. In the next chapter, he talks about the more hidden the divine operation beneath an outwardly repulsive appearance, the more visible it is to the eye of faith. And here he's going to talk about how sometimes the less divine things can seem, in fact, the more God's will is working through them. So sometimes it's not only like the pleasant and beautiful and pretty side of life through which God is working, but sometimes it can be the complete opposite, the most challenging or even repulsive, as he says, aspects of life can be the areas in which God's will is working most powerfully. And he tells us to think about the example of Mary and Joseph and the Magi and the shepherds. Now, what did they find there at the birthplace of Jesus at that stable? The Magi and the shepherds found this very humble stable, which probably was, you know, pretty poor and pretty dirty. And nevertheless, they looked at it through the eyes of absolute faith. And so they didn't see, you know, the squalor, the straw, the animals and all of that. But instead, they saw the magnificence of the incarnate deity in this small child. And I think that is revealing to us this paradox. That God is present everywhere, but often he's most powerfully present in those things which seem to be smallest or weakest or less pleasant. And I think it's the same for our own lives, you know. Of course, some things we're aware that we're doing them for God, it's very obvious. It might be participating in the liturgy or doing a work of charity that we find very encouraging. But sometimes it can be the things which we don't actually enjoy or feel that they're terribly pious. Things like putting up with people who we don't particularly get along with, or doing household chores that, you know, we hate or whatever, that it can be in these that we most fully encounter God's will, because in these is the greatest capacity for self-surrender, for abandoning ourselves to providence. And we need to try to train ourselves to look at things through the eyes of faith, so that we see, firstly, the divine action, and only after that we see whatever the material appearance is. So it's a good practice, I think, at all times to remind ourselves, God is now working in this present moment. And when we do that, we can see each present moment as a glorious gift from God, which indeed it is. So we're going to continue in our next podcast with the next three sections of chapter 2 of book 1 of this wonderful work, Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Cussade. Well, that brings us now to the end of day 5 of our study of Abandonment to Divine Providence. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we will be discussing Book 1, Chapter 2, Sections 3 through 5. And until then, may Almighty God bless you very richly.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support the commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.